It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Your independence of me, you're Ernest Hancock here in Washington State, Merca up on the near the Canadian border on the Columbia River, and you can figure that out. Well, one thing that we're really hoping to accomplish while we're up here is just to evaluate where our friends are in their development of a community. And they're getting, you know, a lot of times when somebody says a community, they're going, oh, we have, you know, a hippie commune community on our 5 acres of how many people can we put here and get them to work and do what we want to do, and then we kick them off later when we're done. But that's not what's going on. You know, what we have here is for, God, well over a decade, they've been building on hundreds of acres, and they have buffalo, okay, yeah, need I say more. You know, greenhouses, you know, a gym, a tennis court. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. They're living large here. But the big thing that they need is they got resources and heavy equipment and dump trucks and a quarry and, you know, be able to do farming and fencing and barns and machinery and need people. And the problem has always been quality of people. And that's always where it comes down to, the quality of the people. There is a small town up here that has been neglected over the decades, if not generations, because Washington State has done everything they can to eliminate, you know, as much industry as they can and get people off the land and, you know, move you into Seattle into a storage container next to the light rail system with everything a body needs, gruel, and the salinized ocean water of your pod people. So, you know, what happens when somebody wants to be leave me aloneism and move out on the lone prairie if I'll take care of myself, thank you very much, and get away from all your crap and, you know, somebody chasing you with a hypodermic needle and a mask. So you're going, you know, there are people like that that have known this was coming, that have been preparing for it, and now have the need for more people to just build. And they can be part of the community here, which a lot of people have. If you have a job and you got skills and you have, you know, a vibrant community of even, you know, young people here doing stuff, and you go, oh, I want to live there. What the hell? Oh, and it's on the Columbia River, so it doesn't suck. You know, so it's nice to have seen this develop, and we've been paying attention. My wife and I, and even my kids and grandkids, have been coming up here for years, and it just keeps developing. Well, now it's gotten to the point to where they're like, Ernie, can you help us out? You know, we need some quality, you know, strong back. You know, people get paid, got a job, you know, they got some skills and stuff. I go, well, yes, I can, you know, yes, I can. And even we have stamp machines to make the components for geodesic domes that we've erected up here. We have, but we haven't covered them. We even got some foundations for them and so on, but we just haven't had the time. We're always active and being activists and going around saving the planet and stuff. But now the thing is not how many minds you can free, but how many asses you can save, Well, that's what we're working on now. Well, this summer we were at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Richard Grove, a good friend of ours, tragedyandhope.com, they created a, I don't know what to call it. It's a self-help, learn how entrepreneur, get off your butt and learn how to do something, and called Autonomy. And it's become very popular, and a lot of people are doing it, and they're getting off the couch and actually doing something, or they're just kind of got a block in their minds, or they're just looking for, you know, like-minded people to associate with. Well, we met some of the students, and this for years they've been going to different events and functions, and, you know, they're a big footprint wherever they go, and you get some quality people hanging out with quality people, you know, to do quality things, and there's just needs opportunity to take advantage of whatever skills they have. So we became friends with Justin Olson, one of the young men that was there, and we go, you know, we got a job interview for you. You go up to Maine to Derek Slopey, has a hackerspace up there, and do some work, and we'll just see what kind of work ethic you got, and we'll see what's up. Well, that was freaking awesome. So we snatched him from Derek and, you know, send him to our friends here in Washington, and within a weekend, they're like, oh, yeah, like that. We need more of that. Send some more of that. Then we had another guy named Joe Moulton that built a tiny house and just hit the road with his tiny house, and we've seen him at Porcupine Freedom Festival and at Jay Noons in Manchester, part of the Free State Project, and then he came to Arizona for the Jackalope Freedom Festival, interviewed him. He's up here working too. So it's going to start getting cold here directly, but where else are you going to go? You know, I don't know if they're going to be going to some festivals. They might take a little bit of harvest here or go a little something there, but I just know what they're going to find out. They're going to go, damn, man, Washington had it going on. You know, we're going to go back there. So we're talking to Justin and Joe and saying, look, do you have any friends? You know, is there somebody else? And Justin goes, yeah, Olus, Filipov. You know, say it again for me. I know it was like Christmas something. What?
Filipov.
Filipov. You know, you know what? How did the Christmas thing come in there? Say that again.
It's like Christmas Eve, but Philip Eve.
Yeah, Philip Eve. That's how that made it easier to say. I knew there was some easy way I could say it. Philip Eve. Okay, Olus Philip Eve is a friend of Justin that he met in Autonomy, and in Autonomy, you get to converse quite a bit. You spend a lot of time interviewing each other, talking. You know, learning how to communicate and sharing with each other, which is another thing. Just yesterday, we did an interview up here. One of the friends is Benny Wills. You know, Benny Wills from Joy Camp, and he does a lot of emceeing at different events, and he's learned from Autonomy and, you know, made his own Parhesia, a program for communicating. On that, we talked about yesterday. We've had him on before, and, you know, Benny benefited from this community also. He's up here with his wife, you know, and child, and, you know, they're hanging. So you're in a really good community, and it seems all of a sudden it's like Justin knew Benny and helped, you know, set him up, and you guys know each other. And then we had Max Egan on from Australia just a couple of days ago on the show, and then come to find out that Benny and Max know each other. And then I'm going, holy crap. This liberty movement is way too freaking small, man. We, you know, but certainly at this level, and birds of a feather flock together, and it's a really, as we start rattling off these kinds of names, and Jordan Page is up here. You know, he was at, you know, he's a good friend. We were at dinner with him last night. So I'm just going, you know, all of us together. So this is the place to be if you're of the like mind. So that's what we are spending time with Olus for. This long introduction is not just for Olus. It's for a lot of the audience here, what we're looking for. And what Justin did, he said, you know, my friend Olus, I think you should talk to him and see if it might be a fit and he's to come visit. And I'm going, all right, let's do that. So Olus is, you know, freedom lover, musician, producer, physicist in exile. We'll talk about that. Philosopher in training. Still in the process of waking up. I don't know how many days does it take. I mean, you know, whatever. A perpetual student of life, taking each day as an opportunity to step towards self-mastery. So he met Justin at Richard Grove's this past summer, and then you and I had met. I remember saying, yo, what's up, at Pork Fest, and you're in Connecticut now.
Yes, sir.
So now you're just tomorrow, yes, you're starting a podcast called whatever the hell you wind up calling it, and
yeah.
You have some skills in ultra-short pulse laser technology of physicist. If I want to cure the planet of COVID, I can do something of something, which is better not. But, you know, let's go ahead and talk about that part right there. Your education, because you're not that old. How old are you?
I'm 29 years old.
All right, 29 years old, and you're from what country?
I'm from Ukraine.
Okay, since when? I mean, when did you leave Ukraine? And you speak English pretty good, so you know how long you've been from Ukraine.
Well, I was actually born because the Soviet Union fell. My parents made me at that moment, basically. And we became political refugees because, you know, explain to me why the KGB came after my dad after the Soviet Union fell. Pretty weird. There should be no KGB. But I guess I'm a conspiracy theorist, you know? So luckily, we got to come to Freedom Land out here. And
how old were you when you came to America?
Oh, I was like a year old, 8 months. Oh,
okay. So you're not like, you know, bred and, you know, it went to Ukraine public school or anything.
No, no, no. I was cursed to be in the Prussian education system out here. But luckily, my grandmother has been teaching, or did teach me when I was a kid. So
your grandmother what?
What's that?
You said your grandmother what?
She was teaching me when I was a kid. You know, she thought that the schools were pretty dumb, and she wanted me to be able to survive. So she hardcore, crazy lady, hardcore. Class until 9 p.m. after school every day. Reading multiple languages. Focus, focus. Mathematics, music. Aesthetics, Greek philosophy, you know?
Wow.
And as a kid, I was like, Grandma, you're crazy. And now I'm like, thank God for grandmas.
Yeah, no
all
kidding.
Of you grandmas out there, please.
Okay, so how many languages do you speak?
Well, I speak mainly Ukrainian and English, but I also speak a little bit of Polish, a little bit of Russian, and all the other Slavic languages I can get by speaking to people.
Really? Okay, well, that's cool. So then what's your education here? You're being 29, I mean, you... Did you go to any government school at all, or you self-taught?
Yeah.
How did that work out?
I went to Cromwell High School in Cromwell, Connecticut, little town. And then I went to UConn. I ended up graduating there after a couple transfers and being making mistakes all along the way. I graduated in physics, and I was going to get my PhD, but because I'm a white male, I was told I'm not allowed to go to graduate school unless I change my gender. And, you know, I'm all for freedom, but I'm not into that. So now I'm a
handyman. I know you're probably half kidding, but, you know, tell me what you're talking about. They had, because I went through this, you know, I graduated high school in 79. I'm 60 years old, born in 61. So during that time, it was affirmative action, you know, that was, you know, white boys need not apply because you don't get, you know, access to, you know, being able to go to the university or qualify or get financial aid or loans or whatever, you know, it was called affirmative action. Well, it's like that's come back. And now I just had a story on Freedom's Phoenix where Stanford University, they have black dormitories now. And I thought we were spending generations trying to get away from this segregation thing. And now they're requiring it and doing it. I'm going, there's some weird ass crap going on, you know? So now it's not, you know, it's the color of your skin and not the content of your character. So as you have, as a young man, you have some skills, and I guess being a foreigner from, you know, Ukraine doesn't count anymore. So you're just too white. They hold up a color chart and say, you know, look at that, you failed, you know? So you weren't able to get secondary education because they filled the spots with minorities? I mean, what was that about?
Well, I was working with a guy named Juha Yevanainen. That's the guy I wanted to get my PhD with. And all the professors talk, and I'd had my application. I was supposed to get in. Everyone thought I was a shoo-in. And he had a sit-down with me over a beer, and he's like, son, they don't want to let you in unless you write a letter about how gay you are or how trans you are. And all you have to do is do that. All you have to do is write a letter, you know? And I was like, man, I don't care if people are gay or trans or whatever. It's none of my business. But I'm not into that. I'm not going to be a faker, you know? And that was that.
No crap. They really said that if you were to, you know, check off one of these boxes, you're in.
Yep.
That is so jacked up.
Gotta love it. Socialism.
Man. All right. So your interest is physics.
Yes, sir.
Okay, why? What about it? Now, I got physics in exile here, and you're learning physics, and you're doing. So what did you do? You continue your education, self taught. You got different lab. I mean, when did all this happen? This is how long ago?
So I graduated in 2019. So it's very recently. I'm a late bloomer into physics. I started at 23. I'm not some super genius. I'm actually kind of an idiot, and I just work harder than most people. So I went in, I told all the professors I'm not smart, and I worked harder than most people, and I got my way through the whole curriculum. It didn't work out what I wanted, but I didn't want to stop doing science. Yeah, there was a time where I was, like, defeated. I didn't want to be part of the system. But then with this COVID stuff happening, I realized that with lasers, there is a possibility to do something, especially you can Google, you know, Dr. Chen and his research. So I just emailed the guy and I asked him if I can help out somehow. And I ended up writing this paper for a grant. I asked the Connecticut government. I asked the military for money to do research to get this going, because Big Pharma is just going to make profit every month on like monthly vaccinations. Man. And that doesn't heal anyone.
Yeah,
you know,
competitive boosters. And what you're talking about, is there some laser technology or light emitting that you're being able to kill viruses or something? I mean, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So basically, like, imagine, I'll give you two analogies. It's really straightforward. Anyone can understand this. Like a guitar string. If I sang a note, then my guitar would be in, if I'm in tune with the guitar, then the guitar would also sing the note. And a virus, it's like a basketball with springs on it, and those springs have tennis balls on them. And that's the virus and spike protein. So you tune to that. And you tune it so you don't boil the water, you know, inside your blood or whatever. And there's ways to inactivate the virus. You excite it like imagine a kid on a swing. And like this is zero. And if you're pushing the kid, you can keep pushing or push this way to slow it down, right? So if you want to excite the kid and jump or have the kid jump off at the highest point, you tune it. So it's in tune with the frequency of the kid swinging. And the kid wants to jump off at the highest point. And that's the excited molecule or atom, depending on what it is. It bounces off and then it just bonds with all the other excited atoms. And then it's no longer a virus on the inside. It still looks like a virus. It still dances around, but your body, it doesn't affect your body. And that's basically a vaccine.
So you're looking to develop this or to continue something that's already developed or working with one? So this is what, you know, got you excited. Is there opportunities for you to work on it?
Not really, actually. But what I wanted to do is popularize it. I wanted to get it out there, and everywhere I went, I even went to frontline doctors, and it's just nothing ever came back. No responses to emails, nothing. All these big Project Warp Speed, nothing.
All right. Well, you know, hopefully you get at least opportunity to check it out, but you know, being a person that would come up in a community up here, well, this is kind of like this is an interview, you know, we're, you know, Justin is a very smart guy, does a lot of things. And, he seems to be enjoying himself, and there's a lot of opportunity for him to do what he was interested in, soil remediation. And
nice.
They're really taking advantage of a lot of no-till, natural, we got the resources to make it go where, you know, up here. The only thing they don't have, I'm kind of surprised at, is chickens. I'm like, damn it, you need more chickens. You know, chick, 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 got chick, 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 chickens. You know, I need some chickens because damn, they're easy. Anyway, so we'll see. Maybe we'll help with that. But the there is the desire in yourself. Do you have a spouse? Do you have a girlfriend? Are you looking to get married? You know, what's your future plans? You're in your 20s. You know, Justin's only 24. You're 29. What kind of future are you looking at in light of all the crap that's going on?
Well, a lot of people don't want to bring children in this world, but I do. I would love to be a father. I don't have a girl. So my wife, wherever you are, I'll find you. Don't you worry. And I've made a lot of plans when I was younger, and I feel like they were all mistakes. But somehow God, the universe, Tao, whatever, it brought me into this part of the path. It just seems like perfect, even though it was messy all along the way. Now I kind of just want to ride the wave, and I don't want to put too many of my ideas out there. I'm just going to do what I can.
But what was it that brought you to autonomy? How did that even come about? You know, and that's not like free, you know, so you wanted to invest into that kind of a community. Tell me about that experience.
So basically, I'm in a bunch of freedom groups out here, men's groups as well, and I want to learn how to be a better man. And these guys have been guiding me, teaching me stuff, and a bunch of guys introduced me to Rich. And we would go to his house, talk about philosophy, talk about the world, the trivium, you know, that kind of stuff. And I admire what Rich is doing. Tragedy and Hope, Grand Theft World, all that kind of stuff. I want to support in any kind of way that I can.
All right, well, you know, you got to support yourself one of these days. You know, I wanted to kind of get a beat on you a little bit and understand, one, I remember being 29 and a young man, and it's called testosterone and freaking man strength, and I can, like, do stuff. You know, but you got to, you know, have the right mindset, too. It's amount of time to invest in a community, and it's always nice to get paid. I mean, that works, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, working towards something to, because they're looking at, I'll give you an example. Where they're at, they need a lot of concrete. You know, they're building a lot of things. And the one guy that has the concrete company, he's getting older and it looks like he might, you know, die or retire or something. Mm. So they're going, well, we got to get our concrete from Idaho, you know, or Spokane or what. They go, you know what? I guess we're in the concrete business now. You know, we'll buy us a cement truck and get some concrete working. And then you have you know, a mill, or they go, you know, we need some animal processing. We need a butcher shop, you know. Then you got, you know, a grocery store. And it's got to be because they're understanding, because it's really, I mean, you don't got to be filthy, stinking rich. But, you know, if you got resources in your community that doesn't have a lot of these things, and they've driven people out of business and they just put everything into Walmart and Amazon, you know, you don't have a community that can sustain itself. And then when they screw up the food chain, you know, or the supply chain, you're effed. I mean, it is, you're done. So now we have people that understand this since before it happened and been preparing for it. Well, now they already have infrastructure. I'm sure Justin's told you, they're like, you know, there's like, you know, electricity and water and gas and power and, you know, an alternative of we got in fields and plowing and greenhouses of buffalo. I mean, you know, let's rock and roll. So now it's time to bring in, you know, the people to help populate it and continue the building. So this is something, I mean, how many calluses are you willing to get on your hands?
Well, calluses, this is all I do right now. I've been a handyman during this whole coronavirus. I had too much work. Gotta get your hands dirty. Last week, I've been doing concrete. Now I'm a carpenter. You know, whatever hat I need to put on, I'll do.
Well, this is, you know, how is your, I mean, do you have pets or dogs or cats or anything?
Not me personally. I mean, my family has a dog.
Okay,
but...
no, I'm just wondering, you know, because Justin traveled around with his dog and then he left that at his parents' home, you know, because, of course, Buster is cool. You know, I like Buster. He was cool. But the, so, and there's no girlfriend. What about transportation? You got a vehicle that can make it out to Washington?
Yes, sir. 99 Maxima. Strong.
All right. Well, this is, you know, what's your plans for the winter? You know, that's going to be, Connecticut and Washington State, what's the difference? But, you know, the, what kind of housing expectations do you have? What is it you're willing to do? You got, you know, can you get warm clothing? I mean, you're in Connecticut. Holy crap.
Well, basically, I do have one big plan coming up. My father is turning 65, and he's a mountaineer. And we planned on going to South America, going to take some ayahuasca, and we're going to climb his last 6,500-meter mountain, which is like 20,000 square feet. It's pretty big.
Damn.
And it's summer down there. So at some point, whenever money gets saved up, I need to do that because when he gets older, I won't be able to learn his skills. And I do want to bond with my father, who wasn't around when I was a young man. And now I'm becoming a man, and I think it's really perfect timing with everything.
No. That's always an ad. No, I'm not talking about that, you know, stuff. You know, like, Justin's got to go back to Maine to get his other vehicle anyway. So, you know, it's not like you're a prisoner here or anything, you know. But the I just wanted to make sure that we got to say, yo, what's up to each other, that you kind of got an idea. And you're communicating with Justin, and he was excited about us talking to you, because this is, you know, what we did with him and Joe and some of the others, is that I would interview him just so that, you know, our host here could, you know, listen to your voice and say, see what you look like, and kind of, you know, whatever. I don't know, the main criteria is just willing to work, you know, to work hard
all day.
Yeah, you know, and then take off and, you know, have your own dreams, your own projects, and learn something and be an ad and fit into what's needed here, because everything's needed here, you know. And these guys, this is the one thing that I've learned, you know, running my own businesses and so on, is like, good people like working with good people. And if you have, you know, a bad apple, you got to get rid of them really quick, or it just, you know, is demoralizing to everybody. You know, so you got to have, you get quality people, it's easy to attract more quality people. Now, they may have their own stuff and go on and move away and then come back or not or whatever. But, you know, you keep that atmosphere, and in an environment of progression, it is very, very, I don't want to say the word progressive. It's very, you know, making progress, you know. Here, and what's some of the interest on a farm or a community that you think would, you know, keep you interested?
Well, I think it's necessary right now in this crazy world. Everyone's got to get a homestead going. And I personally, I would love to do that. And where am I going to learn except for from other people? I don't own any land. I live in a condo, so I don't really get to play in the dirt as much, except for at my buddy's properties where I do gardening there. But personally, I would love to learn as much about animals, which I haven't had any experience with, like animal husbandry. If you have work for that kind of stuff all day, I'll play in poop.
there's plenty of work to be done. The biggest thing they need now is construction. I mean, it's just actual building the infrastructure, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, this has been, hey, Justin, come on in. Fix my crap, man. It's not
the man with the plan, the mean machine himself.
You know, yeah. Olus and I have been just yakking it and trying to get a feel for whatever, you know, he's doing. Here, let me turn on. Hold on a second. Let me turn his mic on. Yeah, does that work?
I don't get sound.
Basically, my biggest thing that I want to do is I want to grow spiritually, and I think that the solution of the world would be to improve ourselves. And that's, I want to make a podcast that we talked about earlier, starting tomorrow, whatever the name's going to be, maybe the end of Utopia, who knows. But basically, I'm a young guy. By bettering myself, I'll be able to make the change. You know, that whole corny thing, be the change in the world that you want to see. But it's true, and it's necessary, because I could be wrong today and say, do this or do that to someone and advise them badly. And that's kind of like how the Greeks would say, sinning, missing the mark, you know? But if I improve myself, then I wouldn't miss the mark. I would be on that line on the Tao.
Yeah, this is the experience that there's so much here to experience and add to and participate that you would add to your own resume, to your own list of things that you're capable of, and become an expert in fill in the blank, you know, but it would take, God, a year. I mean, you know, it's like a, it's like going to college or something, you know, and there, and a lot of the people here are very intelligent people. I mean, they're top end of, oh my God. And, you know, just having a meal with them and learning. And then of course, when they respect your mind and what you have to do and see that it's an add to any community, you know, you might get an investment of help of, you know, peace out, make it go where, and there's an office. You know, so this is, I've really experienced this with these people, and they've been great patrons of ours, you know, for a long time. And we've always been of help to them whenever we can, either myself or introducing them to a lot of people. You know, there's been, you know, a lot of people they've gotten introduced, you know, by, you know, from our efforts. But now it's gotten to where they're specific in people that are actually working, you know, getting calluses, you know, building the infrastructure. Because everybody wants to build a community, but then they go, they don't really say what that means. I want to build a community where I kind of like, you know, sit on my porch and smoke dope and watch the sunset over the community, you know, without actually building the porch to do it on, you know? So, I mean, you know, this, you got to actually, you know, build infrastructure. And there's a lot. So what's been your experience up here, Justin, you're willing to share? Because it's not just Olis that we're talking to, you know, it's also other people that you guys know, they listen to this, they start to say, hey, I could do that, you know? You know, so what do you, what's been your experience?
Well, it's really just worth noting that nothing is really, nothing comes from nothing. And if you really want something that's meaningful, you got to put in actual effort to build it. And certainly to have something worth having, it's far more satisfying to have built that thing than to have received it. And even if you were to just come across something, you know, there's a lot more respect and reverence for something that you put together yourself, or you put together with some sort of an intentional intent to it. There's a lot of work going on. There's a lot of people doing a lot of different things, and everybody really plays their part. And I think that's what's so special about it. Like Ernie was saying, good people like working with good people.
Yeah. You know, this has been, you know, Justin's, it was always going to make me look good. And that was one thing that I, you know, I said, don't worry about it. You just get Justin there. And Joe Moulton's been doing a really good job. And other people that we've introduced him to. And I go, you know, I don't do it just to do it. I do it to make, you know, be of service and make sure I don't look like an idiot, you know, that I, you know, not a, a bad judge of character, and which is also the reason why I like have these conversations. So, you know, what is it that you're, you know, if they said, yeah, you know, bring the guy on, man, let's rock and roll. We got, you know, a place to something, you know, are you available to come out? When would you come? Would it, you know, be next week, next spring? You know, for how long? You got to, you know, go visit for Christmas. I mean, you know, what's your availability?
Basically, for something like this, I would be able to come as long as I got my money straightened out to get gas out there.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, so, and then it's a, and then what kind of commitment and time? It's got to, God, I hate it. I'll at least do 3 months because I freaking committed to whatever, but I hate it, but I'll do my 3 months. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, what kind of commitment can they get out of you? Do they make the effort to get you out and you take a spot?
Well, like I mentioned before, I want to get married, so I'm also looking for something long-term. I would prefer something that I could work at and keep upgrading and growing. And then if, you know, this community stuff, I would love to be a strong member of a community and be a young man and then become a man and then support a young man to become a man. And the only thing is, I just got to take a little trip to Peru. I could return after that. I have no actual commitments right now. And
no, you're like allowed to take trips. I mean, you know, it's not a prison. You know? But the it's just that, you know, when they have a slot filled and they, you know, they do have, you know, facilities here. But and then there's the town, and then there's, you know, what you work out as compensation and what jobs that, you know, how quality of work and time goes. That's a lot of, you know, effort they're putting into it. And then it'll take time for them to see what your skills are and, you know, where they'll place you into something. You know, because we have some people that go, hey, well, I can be a logistics dude, kind of, you know, business running to make sure that goes to work. And I'm a, okay, you know, you can come do that, and then maybe they can, maybe they can't, you know. So, but at the very least, if you have someone that is reliable, dependable, they show up, they're prepared to work, they work, you know, and they are conscientious and put the tools up and don't leave them in the rain. I mean, that is a thing, you know, leaving crap in the rain. But the, you know, you do that, and then all of a sudden, minimum job requirements are fulfilled, and the world is your oyster. I mean, see, this is what a lot of people now, you say these things and you think it's like, duh, you know, but maybe your grandma, you know, took care of business with you, you know, made sure you understood. But these are things that when I would have my restaurants and so on, you know, people, I would have someone come in. I would hire just about anyone. This is how I did it. I go, look, if you really want a job, you're not willing to give anybody a chance, but you work 2 hours a day, 3 days in a row. That's it. That's your interview. Get your ass here, you know, and they would go during dinner time when it was the rush, because then, you know, they're actually could wash dishes, do something that they're, I'm not spending an enormous amount of time on training them or going through training modules and watching videos, and then you wind up firing them anyway or not putting them on the schedule. I go, no, if you can't be productive for 2 hours during dinner rush and wash freaking dishes 3 days in a row, then what the hell are you doing here? Okay? And I'm going, so 2 hours a day, 3 days in a row, boom. Then I decided whether I gave more hours and put them on the schedule or not. But it was because they actually were standing there in front of me doing something. And some people, they couldn't be on time. They just can't. You know, they wouldn't take a bath. They wouldn't shave. You know, they, you know, were always concerned about what everybody else was doing and wanted to party and kind of, you know, hey, man, screwing off and, you know, being stupid. And I'm just, next. So I would save a lot of money, you know, doing that. Because what is it? I'm paying minimum wage or something to start them off in, you know, for a couple of hours, and I'm out maybe 6 hours. So I that's why I like having these conversations. But there's nothing better than you actually coming and working. And the fact that Justin is willing to endorse you coming and doing that, it gives you a little bit of, you know, on top of the list. But, you know, we had worked with Justin for weeks before he was invited to come here. So I'm just, you know, you go be a slacktivist, and that would suck for Justin. So I'm just, so if you like Justin, you might want to work hard. That's, I'm just saying. Are you endorsing him?
I'd appreciate it, Ellis. I'd only recommend good people, especially after what I've seen here. And Olis is one of the hardest working individuals I've ever met, and one of the few in my travels that I would consider like a real philosopher and genuinely open-minded and into learning things. And yeah, this dude works hard. I've seen it with my own eyes.
So you got to spend time up here with the people and the quality of philosophy, of attitude, of freaking get it, and, you know, and still enjoy life. You know, you think he'd fit in? You know, he'd enjoy it up here?
I think he'd be right up the alley. He already knows quite a bit about the world, and, you know, he's into a lot of the same stuff that we are here. I mean, I wouldn't have recommended it otherwise.
All right, man. You know, that
dang.
We'll be in touch. We'll start working it out. You know, I just...
Thank you.
You know, this is what we need to do, and it's really just going to come down to a work ethic. All that other stuff, you know, is a bonus, but at the very least, when you're dealing with a physical community, there is big, enormous value in somebody shows up on time, they work when they're here, and they have a quality work ethic of I freaking did my job and feel good about and I'm hungry and let's eat. I mean, you know, it's really not that complicated, but you would think that would be like standard human, you know, standard of breathing in and out and being worth something. But, you know, they're not teaching it in government school. I can guarantee you that.
That's for sure.
You know, so this is it. All right, man, we'll be in touch. You know, hold on a second. And guys, I just contact me at publisher@freedomsphoenix.com. If this kind of thing sounds like you're just looking for the opportunity to be part of a growing, thriving, taking it serious for a long time community that knows what this is going to become, it's going to become a food thing. And you need to, you know, build your own structures. You got to build your own dwelling. You got to be able to have infrastructure and food and water and power and communications. It's all the stuff that we've been talking about. You know, behind the scenes, this is being done. Oh, you thought I was kidding? You know, I mean, we've been working on this for a long time. And, you know, we may replicate this in Arizona, too, and spend time between the two. So the thing is that there is a lot of opportunities for people that, and I keep hearing about it for the past year and a half, that Don and I have been traveling around the country, and it's been all about community, 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 community. And I'm going, yeah? Yeah? Where? You know, what do I have to do? What can't I do? What's your conflict resolution? How serious are you about it? Do you got an infrastructure already? What are you willing to do? Oh, I'm willing to take somebody's, you know, money and buy a double wide and kind of sit there and, you know, and smoke ganja all day, you know? And I'm going, no. If you're willing to build a future and have the capability, because where else are you going to do it on this planet? There are people, these people here, they're, you know, around the world. There was a lot of places going, it just got, holy crap. You know, America is better than freaking just about anywhere else. Who'd have thunk, you know? But this is not over. And it's going to be about surviving, but also thriving. And if you want to have an opportunity to do that and get your own land, you know, they have plenty of land here to sustain a community and make sure people, you know, don't die and you develop into a future of being able to raise children, because we're looking at, you know, the one-room schoolhouse. There's already people, you know, doing that, and her initials are Mary Page. So, you know, we have opportunities to, you know, raise children, you know, in a homeschool environment. Well, the school marm of gets paid to be whatever. And then you have, what's the next thing? A doctor. Are you medically inclined? Are you a doctor? Do you want to be able to practice medicine without being told what to do, how to do, and killing people and getting rewarded for killing them? You know, how about that? You know, how about construction, or having a, you know, you can do concrete or framing or what, you know, there's a lot of these people are here now and they're coming. It is a community that's real being built right, not later, but they are not going to subsidize slacktivist. That's just not going to happen because they don't have to. Just want to make sure you guys know what's up, and this is why we're having these conversations. And I tried, you know, to explain to the people that do come up, and it wasn't until, you know, real quick, Justin, you know, I was trying to be as descriptive as I could be, You know, it wasn't like I was inaccurate, but until you get here, you don't really see just how serious they are.
Yeah, it's not something that can really be described and fully understood, because most people aren't thinking at this level of possibility and ability to actually get this infrastructure and just make it happen. And it really wasn't until I saw it with my own eyes that it was like, oh, this is really what's going on. It's at this level. It's very real.
And you haven't even got the tour yet.
Yeah.
Now I got to get to, we've just been busy. It's been a week or more, and we got to get on the ATVs. And I'm going, you want to see what's up? I'm going to show you what's up, you know? And we ain't even done that yet. So that when, you know, Olus gets here, then he can give you the tour. Olus, peace, brother. We'll be in touch. Peace. Hold on.
Freedom.
Great seeing you,
God
Olus.
Bless.